Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert A. Venable. I have to kind of redefine myself now that we are involved so deeply in media ministry. We're bringing you this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus, and we're so excited about being right here on WMAF today, ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ in North Florida, anywhere in the United States that anyone is listening by computer, and anywhere in the world. We had over the weekend, in fact, some people visit our homepage, our website, and download several of these broadcasts that we are making in the United Kingdom. And we're so glad that so far away, people are listening to and hearing what God has to say from His holy word. And we are thankful to be part of the broadcast family of WMAF. And we are so glad to be ministering to you on your hometown station right there in Madison, Florida. My hope that one day I can get up that way and visit the station personally and maybe get to know some of the good folks in Madison, Florida. And through this ministry, as we reach out from our church here in Tampa, Florida. I pastor the Holy Church of God in Tampa, Florida, and I have been the pastor here for 36 years and counting. So we have a long record of standing for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and ministering His word and ministering His love to all who will hear it and allow us to do so. We have recently been putting an emphasis on our website. If you would like to know more about this ministry, about me personally, about the Holy Church of God Incorporated. We're part of the Independent Assemblies of God International, in good standing since 1974. And it is a fellowship of independent ministries worldwide. And we have sermons that are available for free to be downloaded and used as God sees fit. And we have the broadcast, the most recent broadcast of Let's Talk About Jesus, are available at our website. If you want to download one of these broadcasts for the scriptural references or for any reason, you're very, very welcome to do so. Amen. And we would love to have you just come and visit. There's no strings attached. I want to give you our website so that you can come anytime you would like and visit with us there. It is simply type in on your on Google would be the very best search engine. Type in THCOG. THCOG. That's all you have to do. You can forget the www's and the dots if you want to, because those letters that stand for the Holy Church of God will take you to our website. We'll be on the first page, and you can come and visit us. And if you can leave a message there, there's a place you can leave a message if you would like, and we would be so happy to hear from you. If you have a testimony, if this broadcast has been a blessing to you, we would love you to just leave us a message. You don't have to leave any other information that if you do choose not to, but we would just be glad to hear from you. Amen. Now today we have a message that is vitally important. I want you to stay tuned to this broadcast if you possibly can. If you know Jesus, I pray that at the end of this message that you will know Him better. If you do not know the Lord, we invite you to please stay tuned. No one's going to come and grab you and try to drag you to an altar. Well, I take that back. The Holy Spirit's probably going to grab you, and He is going to move you toward Jesus if you let Him. Oh, but He is so sweet and so precious. God loves you so much today, friend. I want you to stay tuned, and I want you to turn with us as we study from the book of Revelation. We're going to talk about seeing Jesus as you've probably never seen Him before. Everyone knows a lot about the Jesus that came into Jerusalem riding on the foal of a donkey, but not many people may know how Jesus is going to return, and the Jesus that has ascended, and the Jesus that we're going to see when the when he splits the clouds of glory and returns to this earth. We need to understand that we will see the glorified Christ, the one who's now been seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And he's going to return one of these days to judge the earth, to judge the quick and the dead. And we need to make sure that our sins are covered by the grace and mercy provided through the blood of his cross, so that we don't have to fear nor dread that great day that is coming. I want you to know something about the Jesus that is coming back. He will not be beaten again by men. He will not be killed and hung on a cross and tortured. He is coming back to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise God. Amen. So we want you to see Jesus as he is today, as John saw him on the Isle of Patmos. The revelation, seeing Jesus, if you've never seen him before, and we're going to begin to read from the first chapter of the book of Revelation, verses 10 through verse 18. Now, I don't think I'm going to be able to get through all of this today, so I'm not even going to try to rush this. The book of Revelation generally is thought of as a book of just future prophetic events, particularly the Antichrist and the judgments that will come upon the earth. The actual word in the Greek for revelation is apocalypso, and it simply means the unveiling of something that was previously covered or previously hidden, the unveiling. And this is primarily the unveiling of Jesus as he is now, that many people have not really focused upon. By the way, amen, the book of Revelation is more about Jesus Christ and his victory, which is our victory, the church as well. More about that than it is the Antichrist and his short-lived reign upon the earth. Amen. It ends up with a marriage supper of the Lamb. I like the one preacher that said, when I first started reading the book of Revelation, I was wondering how it was all going to turn out, and I skipped some pages because I couldn't wait to see the climax of it, and I turned to the end of the book, and we win. Praise God. Well, I want you to know, if you're standing with the Lord today, in spite of all that the enemy does, we're going to come through it all with victory and great triumph and bring glory to our King. So let's read this today, and let's look and see Jesus like we've never seen him before. Revelation 1, 10 through 18. The Apostle John said, "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book." That's why we have the book of Revelation today. "And send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." I want to stop right here and teach for just a moment. This word candlestick is better rendered lampstand. Don't think of a wax candle when you see this with a wick. Think of a basin of oil that is feeding a flame that is a lampstand that is oil-fed flame. This is what he literally saw. "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks or lampstands, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and hairs were white as snow, as wool, white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. and tell me about it. That's not in the Bible to tell me about it. I'm just trying to imagine looking at Jesus this way instead of the way we've always seen him and perceived him. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. John was seeing Jesus as he had never seen him before. Remember that John had been a friend and a follower of Jesus in his humanity. You know, John was called that disciple that Jesus loved, who laid his head on Jesus' breast. He's known as Saint John the Beloved. And he remained faithful to Jesus up to the cross. And then after the resurrection, John saw Jesus in his glorified body before he ascended to the heavens to be with his Father. But now what John was about to see was not Jesus in his humbled humanity, or even Jesus in his glorified body, but Jesus in all his glory as the Son of God, wearing robes of the great high priest, full of power and authority, ready to walk among his people in order to purify them, so that his gospel of redemption would be clearly heard in a fallen world. Jesus is walking among the lampstands. Today we will see one of the key reasons for God initiating this unveiling to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. It was to show us Jesus, the Lord of the church, at work. He's no longer as we knew him in the Gospels. He's no longer the man Jesus. He is now Jesus the Lord, and Jesus God, the ruler of the earth, the second person of the Godhead. But he is at the same time Jesus, the shepherd of his flock. He is God, the ruler of the church and of the universe. And at the same time, he is Jesus, the shepherd of his flock. Isn't it good today, friend, if you're a Christian, to know that the ruler of the universe is your shepherd? That should give you comfort and confidence and great consolation in an uncertain world where so many problems and so many fearful things are coming upon the earth. Isn't it good to know that the God who rules the universe is your shepherd, caring for you, watching over you, providing for you, protecting you? When John turned, the Bible said he saw someone like the Son of Man in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13. Someone like the Son of Man. This is a reference to the description that the prophet Daniel gave the coming Messiah 800 years before. In Daniel 7 and verse 13, he said, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. That term, Son of Man, means Jesus is a human being, as God intended human beings to be when he created them. This description tells us that even though we are going to see Jesus differently than we've ever seen him before, his Godness, he's still the man, Jesus. That means that he's still our high priest. He identifies with us because he was tempted just like we are. He's still human as well as God, so he can bridge the gap between God and man as our great intercessor. I love what one commentator says about this verse of Scripture and this subject we're talking about. He said the form which John had seen enduring the agony of Gethsemane and the shame and anguish of Calvary, he now sees glorified. But in the midst of such glory, he still sees the man. And aren't you glad for that? That when we get to heaven and we're going to see Jesus glorified, we will still see the man who suffered and died for us. John looked to see the lion, and the Bible said that he saw a lamb as it had been slain. Jesus will still bear the scars, and this will be the most amazing thing about it, that someone so mighty and so filled with majesty and glory and holiness, this mighty creator, without him there was nothing made that was made, and yet we will see nail scars in those hands. The hands that stretched out the heaven as a scroll will have nail scars in them. God the Father will be there. God the Son will be there. And we will see that this one who is equal with God, the second person of the Godhead, we will see him glorified, and yet we will see him nail scarred. And we will know that it wasn't just a good man dying for us on the cross, but God became man. And God, to wit, the scripture said, and I'm going to let the scripture say this, it's such a challenging statement, I'd rather quote it from the Word of God, make no mistake about it, to wit, God was in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. We used to sing that great Christian song of old, "Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would say, not mine, but thine for?" In reality, more than a great king, even the king of the universe, but God himself took on flesh, went to the cross, and laid down his life, took on flesh that he might die, that we might live. What a wonderful, powerful, passionate God that we have that would love us that much. But in the midst of such glory, John still sees the man Jesus Christ. In order to save us, Christ became one like us while being totally sinless and very God. He became one of the race of man. Someone has said very accurately, the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Aren't you glad today, amen, that the Bible said that because of what he has done, we can become the very sons and daughters of God if we receive Christ as our personal Savior? Hallelujah. I have been preaching this gospel for all of these years, well over 35 years, and I'm still taken back when I read in Scripture where Paul says, now you are the sons of God. Does not yet appear what we fully shall be, but we know that now we have this relationship with him and to him. It is familial. It is paternal. God is our Father, and we are his children. Praise God. And we cry, Abba, Father, because the Holy Spirit is within us, teaching us, telling us, confirming our adoption into his great family. Praise God. Amen. This is shouting ground today, and it's hard for me to sit still and not make all kind of, thumps and creaking chairs and all the things here on the radio, because I just feel sometimes like hollering hallelujah and getting a little more emotion into my voice and then just the emotion in my heart. But I'm telling you today, I'm still excited about being saved. I'm excited about a God that is this filled with majesty and glory, that would absolutely condescend to come down, become one like unto us. And go to the cross for you and for me. Who am I that God, my Creator, would die for me, find a way to lay down his life to save me? Friend, if you ever doubt that God loves this world, you need to understand what it meant when it said he gave his only begotten Son, what it meant when Jesus consented to go to the cross. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. Make no mistake about it. Jesus was not a victim of Pilate or Caesar's Rome. He was not a victim of the Sanhedrin court. He was not a victim of even our sins that put him there. He was not a victim at all. He allowed himself to be sacrificed. He chose to give up his self, to be tortured to death on that cross because of his intense love for fallen man. That's you and me. Listen, friend, today you may not feel like that you're very lovable, that how could a holy God love someone like you? Well, that's the glory of the cross. That's the glory of this gospel, that a God with this majesty, a God of this magnitude, a God who dwells in unapproachable light, would invite you behind the veil into his presence, because the blood of Jesus can cleanse you that clean. This is an incredible thing to me. Amen. I don't know how we teach it with monotone, ho-hum attitudes. This should be a source of excitement that never diminishes in the Church of Jesus Christ today. I personally believe that true revival is not based on some new revelation, new thing, new experience. All of those new things have come and gone over the years, and we always end up back at the foot of the cross, standing in jaw-dropping awe that God would hang and suffer and die to save us. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. There's nothing like the revival fires that are rekindled in the heart right at the foot of the cross, when we really understand, comprehend, grasp, get our mind around, get a handle on, if you please, what was really taking place. God finding a way to lay down his life, to take the punishment that his own holiness demanded, so that you and I could be redeemed, ransomed, so the price, the sin debt, could be paid up in full. Friend, if you ever doubt that God loves you, I want you to understand this man hanging on the cross was Emmanuel, God with us. And the nails, friend, didn't hold him there. And the guards didn't keep him there. He laid down his life because he loved you that much. And he loved me that much. I want you to listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Oh, when I need the Lord, it is so good to know that he understands what my needs truly are. When I need forgiveness, when I need help, when I am lonely, when I feel guilty, when I feel a sense of great loss, when I feel pain, anguish, when I'm tempted, when I'm persecuted, when terrible trials come, when fears come, when my heart is broken, when all of these human experiences are experienced, I'm glad that I don't have a God that sits aloof high in his heaven, just telling me to suck it up, just telling me to be strong, just telling me to keep the faith. No, I have a God that has come down, that has condescended, that has took on flesh, that has experienced experientially, personally, all of the things that you and I can experience in life, so that he can be so compassionate, so understanding of how to help us. He identified with us. What a Savior. I'm going to say it again. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Ah, what kind of love is this? It's an old 50s song, but it's in my heart right now. What kind of love is this that makes me want to jump and shout? Listen, folks, I'll tell you, I love my wife, Pamela. We've been married for 46 years, and I love her now more than I have ever loved her. But it doesn't make me want to jump and shout. It makes me want to grab her and hug her and do things to show that love. But when something bubbles up in your soul until you can't hardly be still, what kind of love is this that makes me want to jump and shout. Have you ever seen a Christian just get beside themselves with joy sometime, and you wonder why this unabashed, unashamed emotion is coming forth? Well, they're getting a glimpse of and a grasp on just how much God loves them. Amen. Whether it's a revelation in the Word of God that makes them holler hallelujah on Sunday morning, or whether it's just the Holy Spirit mediating the very presence of this mighty Lord in Jesus to us, it makes us want to jump and shout. Praise God. Hallelujah. Folks, there was a man in the New Testament that God healed, the lame man that sat at the gate called Beautiful. And when he was made whole, he went into the temple leaping and praising God. And I've often told the congregation, if he can leap and praise God because his temporal body received a temporary healing and something that is temporal, material, physical, how much more should we sometimes, at least in our heart, jump and shout and leap and shout because he has taken all the brokenness that sin brings into our life. He's saved our soul. He's healed our broken heart. He set our captive soul free from a prison house of sin because of what he did on the cross. And this one hanging on the cross wasn't some poor, pitiful, pathetic victim of someone else's authority and power over him. He was very God dying for you and dying for me. And friend, I'm moved by that today. Part of me wants to jump and shout. Part of me wants to be broken at his precious feet. But I'm telling you, a good man, yes, he was, but more. And the best of men that ever lived, but more than a good man. Make no mistake about it, more than a good man was hanging on that cross. God was in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto himself according to the scripture. That just blows me away and bowls me over and makes me want to rekindle the first love in my heart all over again. And it makes me want to run with this gospel to tell everybody that I possibly can as clearly as I can tell them the majesty, the glory, that Jesus has died for you and for me. I believe the great revival God wants to send to America is going to be on the foundation of Jesus and him crucified. That we seem like we've gotten past and gotten over. Honey, this is the foundation stone for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You remove that from the gospel, it's a pseudo-gospel. It is no longer the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Paul stood in such awe of what Jesus did at the cross. He said, I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus and him crucified. This is the message that saved in the first century. It is the message that saves in the 21st century. Jesus and him crucified is the reason that we can call the gospel good news today. No matter what the immediate circumstance in our life, I want you to know that this mighty God, this everlasting Father, this Prince of Peace, this Counselor, all this one like no other one, this Jesus loved us enough to come into our fallen world, to take upon our fallen nature in terms of the flesh, never sin, but feel the pull of it, and to take our sins upon himself on the cross. Today, friend, we got so much more to talk about Jesus. John saw so many more things that we need to clearly understand about the Christ who's going to return soon to judge the quick and the dead. He wants you ready for his coming, though. He loves you. He wants you to know that today you can have every sin forgiven, have your heart unbroken, have your life put back together and back on track. Today, if you will open your heart right now and invite Jesus into your life, He will become your Savior, embrace you in His love, write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Would you pray that prayer right now? And would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?